And now if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 2. And while you're turning to your place, let me say just a word to our morning glories. I hope that you'll be blooming again tonight at 7 o'clock. Be in your place to serve the Lord. The opportunity is yours. I hope that you'll not pass it up. In Judges chapter 2, I shall begin reading at verse 8. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and make your service and your time in the house of the Lord worthwhile today. And I believe if you'll put yourself into the service today that you'll receive something from it. And I believe that it would be a blessing, a twofold blessing, for you to continue to be faithful toward the evening and the services that are designed for your good. Judges chapter 2, verse 8, after a word of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to be upon us in the reading of thy word and the exposition of the scriptures. And may we see ourselves today as thou dost see us. Keep us awake. Keep us alert. Keep us alive spiritually. And may the Holy Spirit work a miracle of grace in hearts here today. And may our hearts be set aflame and afire for Jesus, that we might go out and share Jesus with others during the week, and that we might love him enough to be back in his house again tonight. In his name we ask it, and for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. My text is embodied in verse 10. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Now there are a lot of sad things that could be said about a generation or a person or a nation or a home or a family or a group of people. It could be said very sadly about a generation that they suffered the pangs of hunger and famine, or that they were exposed to pestilence and disease, or that they were ravished by war and poverty. Sad indeed are these thoughts to characterize any generation. But I think the saddest thing that could be said about any person or about any people or about any generation is found in my text. And there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning for a while on the consequences of not knowing the Lord. And I submit to you three penalties that shall be meted out to every person and every generation that knows not the Lord. The first consequence is this: the person who knows not the Lord, or the generation who knows not the Lord, shall suffer defeat in the everyday conflicts of life. Suffer defeat in the everyday conflicts of life. If you look at verse 14 in this second chapter, down at the end of the verse, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. In other words, they lost in the daily conflict of their lives. Now in the 20th century, man is confronted with many enemies every day. What shall I say of the enemy of discouragement? when it seems that all the good that you have done has been to no avail, when it seems that every visit that you have made has not paid off, when it seems that you have labored in vain, and the devil comes in and he discourages you and says to you, well, I told you back there when you started it wasn't going to be worth it. And you become discouraged. And the most effective weapon that Satan has today is the weapon of discouragement. When it seems that the mysteries of life are too many, a young couple united in marriage brings forth a son or a daughter, and in its early life it is snatched out in death. Who can understand? Who can explain? When a man has begun to live, and in the prime of his life, with his family gathered about him and his business is prosperous, and all of a sudden he's mowed down by the enemy of death, and discouragement sets into the family. I would say to you this morning that the enemy of discouragement would overwhelm us and would destroy us if we had not the promise, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. If we knew not the Lord, if we knew not the promises of God, if we knew not that God has a purpose in everything that happens, the enemy of discouragement would overwhelm our soul. And what do you know this morning about the enemy of fear? A lot of people went to bed last night fearful that bombs and missiles would be bursting over their head perhaps before the sun came up this morning. A lot of people went to bed last night fearing that some awful pestilence or disease would take their family before another day came. Many hundreds of thousands and yea millions of people went to bed last night fearing that they would starve to death. Did you know that every day that you live, 10,000 people starve to death? Literally starve to death. We can hardly comprehend that in a land of plenty and productivity and prosperity, but it's the truth. As we know recorded history, the world as we know it and humankind are about 6,000 years old. Did you know that it took almost all 6,000 years for the world's population to ever reach 1 billion people? Not until the year 1850 were there 1 billion people in the world. But no longer than 1930, just 80 years after that, there were 2 billion. Now get the picture. 5,900 years for 1 billion and 80 years for 2 billion. By 1960, there were 3 billion people in the world. And statisticians tell us that should time last, by the year 2070, there will be 25 billion people in the world. Now, 10,000 are starving daily. Did you know that 1 out of every 4 babies born is Chinese? I talked to a man this week who had a very close friend who has just concluded a tour in India and China and some of the Asiatic countries. I don't know, but I rather doubt that any of us have ever been to Calcutta, India. Maybe some of you have. But I understand that there is an airport in Calcutta that is equivalent to any modern airport in the United States. But this person who was making this excursion through Asia told this story. When they landed at the airport in Calcutta, India, and went into the lobby and the waiting rooms, they had to literally step over people who had died the night before of starvation in a modern airport. The world is facing a crisis this morning. The world is confronted with starvation today. You'll go home and I'll go home after church, And we'll eat a good meal and we'll feel good and we'll have our stomachs and our appetites satisfied. But there'll be hundreds and thousands of people today who will die because they don't have anything to eat. The enemy of fear is on us, frightening. If we knew not the prophecy of God's word, if we knew not the Lord in this generation, we would have every right to fear these things. Or what shall I say about the enemy of death? You don't really welcome death, do you? You are prepared to meet the Lord, but do you really want to die? There's a certain horror about dying. But if we did not know the Lord, how much more horrible would death be? I'm glad that we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm glad that we know with the Apostle Paul this morning, for if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I'm glad that I can say with Paul this morning, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We should not fear death because we know God and we know His plan and purpose in life and in death. The conflict rages on, internationally, nationally, individually. This morning, Jacob and Esau are fighting in the Middle East. And the wrong move by one Arab or one Israeli or one Egyptian or one Syrian, just one wrong move or one misfired shot, and the whole world would be drawn into global conflict. That's where we are today. Jacob and Esau are still fighting. But if we did not know the Lord, if we did not have a more sure word of prophecy, oh, we would be cringing in fear this morning. But let war come. Christ is coming too. Let poverty come. Christ is coming too. Let pestilence come. Christ is coming too. In the face of all of these dangers that are imminent and that are upon us today, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And we have the hope of God and the hope of God's word. Isaiah says, in that day, he's speaking of that world without war, that world without poverty, that world without famine, that world without starvation, that world without sickness, that world without crippled children's homes, that world without rest homes. It'll all be a land of rest. That world without undertakers, that world without doctors, that world without eyeglasses and walking canes. Isaiah says, in that day they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not rise up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There is a peace coming. There is a prosperity coming. There is a better world this morning. And we have the promise in God's word. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In that day the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of God from Jerusalem. I'm glad that we know this morning that the earth in that day shall be covered with a knowledge of the glory of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. Can you not sing with me this morning? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. If we knew not God, we couldn't sing. Atheists don't sing. God haters and God rejecters and Christ blasphemers can't sing the songs of Zion that we know this morning. If we knew not God, we would suffer defeat in our everyday conflicts. And some of you are perhaps looking over the past and you're saying, "Preacher, oh, but where I've been, the things I've done." But listen to me this morning. The song of hope, the song of redemption is yours in Christ this morning. And we know the Lord. And we have something that the world doesn't have. If we knew not the Lord this morning, we would experience not only defeat in the everyday conflicts of life, but we would experience distress in the everyday affairs of life. Consider with me for a moment the last part of verse 15. "And they were greatly distressed." Life is filled with confusion, chaos, perplexities, mysteries that we don't understand. But let me ask you this morning, what would life be without God? Let me ask you this morning, what would life be without the knowledge of the ultimate purpose and plan and program of God for your life and for your family and for your home and for your nation and for your community? What would life be like without God? No Bible to tell us how to live and tell us how to die. No church to come to worship and meditate and sing and fellowship. What would a world like this be if we had no knowledge of God? We would have no hope. We would die in ignorance and darkness and superstition if we knew not the Lord. But I'm glad this morning that we do know God, that we do have a Bible, that we do have a church. Some of you won't know it tonight, but that's your loss and not the church's. I just thought I'd throw that in and wake some of them up. It's about to go to sleep out there. I said, if you're not here and don't engage in the opportunities that you have, you're losing, not the church. Go on, brother. The church is going to be here when you're gone. And when you're begging for a preacher, the church is going to be here. May not be this one, but there'll be a preacher. There'll be somebody. Now go ahead and neglect your sacred duty. Go ahead and refrain yourself from the things that you know are right. What if you'd have had awakened this morning in a world where there was no church? What if you had driven to the corner of Ford and Wilbarger Streets, the church was gone? Well, for some of you, it might as well have been. But I'm glad we have a church this morning. I'm glad we've got a Bible. I'm glad we've got hope. And they talk about God being dead. And I haven't turned poet, but somehow I got a little something last night. God is dead, the theologians say. But I know he's not. I talked with him today. Dead, never to live again, they claim. But alive to save in his son's dear name. Alive, 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 let it be said. God will be living when the theologians are dead. I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad we have hope this morning. I'm glad we have peace this morning. Oh, I know we don't deserve it. If we had what we deserved, you and I'd be in hell today. Unworthy, unclean, sinful, vile. At our very best, we are very bad. At our very strongest, we are very weak. At our most enlightened moment, we are very unenlightened. But I'm glad that we've turned our case over to Jesus. I'm glad that we've come to learn to say to him, "I cannot handle my case. I turn it over to you. You are my lawyer. You are my advocate. You are my savior. I can't forgive myself. You must forgive me. I can't contain myself. You must contain me. I cannot take myself across the rivers of death. Meet me at the depot of death and take me across." I'm glad we have that hope this morning. You know, one of these days, the time is coming when mothers won't go down to the airports and train stations and bus stations. And wives won't go down anymore and say goodbye to their sons and to their husbands and to the members of their family. Because one day, the Prince of Peace is coming. And he's going to settle it all. You know why? Because we know God. You know why? Because we have a Bible. We have the truth. We have a more sure word of prophecy. A new day is dawn. a Prince of Peace will come with healing in his wings. If we didn't know God this morning, we'd receive damnation at the end of the way. There are but two ways for man to travel, the right way and the wrong way. And there is a destiny awaiting at the end of both ways, heaven or hell. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, for broad, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Two gates, two ways, two destinies, wide and narrow, broad and still again narrow, hell, heaven, two ways. The psalmist said the way, the writer of Proverbs said, the way of the transgressor is hard. The wise Solomon said again, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. To live and die without a knowledge of God means eternal damnation at the end of the way. Let God's word speak to it. Don't take my word for it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. James said, lust when it is conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, there you cannot come. Paul said unto you who are troubled, rest with us. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not our God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said in that day, they should be lined up on the left and on the right. You know, I used to shudder when I'd think about this as a boy. Many times I would call my dad to the bedside and say, Daddy, this thing is bothering me. Did Jesus say that one day he was going to say, depart from me, for I, the Lord your God, knoweth you not? And Daddy would say, yes, son, but not to those that are saved. Go on to sleep. Jesus is going to take care of all of it. And I found out that he has. Oh, I've fallen way down on my end of the bargain, but he's never let me down. And I believe when I stand yonder at the bar of God that Jesus will stand for me. He'll plead my case. But to those on the left, those on the outside, he's going to say, depart from me, for I, the Lord your God, never knew you. You don't know God in this hour, God's not going to know you in the hour to come. I think some of the saddest verses in all the Bible in the Revelation chapter 20. John said, and I saw a throne, a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled, because there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. Every man was judged out of the books according to his works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And the dead were judged out of the books according to their works. And you listen to this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written on the Baptist rolls. No, it doesn't say that. Whosoever has not been baptized. No, it didn't say that. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you this morning, is your name written there? On the page bright and fair, is your name written there? In the hour of judgment, when this old world's on fire, is your name written there? When the perspiration of death is on you and your fingernails have already turned purple, is your name written there? When the fires of a righteous God are poured out in judgment upon an unrighteous world, is your name written there? I say to not know God means eternal damnation at the end of the way. It's a dark picture, isn't it? Sad, isn't it? Horrible, isn't it? Terrible! Yes, it is. But through the darkness there shines a light. From Calvary's cross for almost 2,000 years the light has been shining. And the light is shining today, and He is that light that giveth light to all men in the world. From Him comes full knowledge of God. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. Did you get that? As many as received Him. What does it say? As many as were baptized? No. As many as joined the church? No. As many as turned over a new leaf? No. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God speaks through His prophet Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they are, my friend. My sins are as scarlet, your sins are as scarlet. Though they be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's calling you to Him this morning. I read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, and I'm glad that included me, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and have fellowship with him. And he will have fellowship with me. You don't have to suffer damnation. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go into the fires of the lake that burns forever. Jesus died to save you from that. And it's simple as ABC. A young man giving his own testimony over in England said that he had been worried for several years about his salvation. But everywhere he had gone, preachers had preached with eloquence but no simplicity of knowing what it meant to be saved. And he said, the horrors of judgment and the horrors of death would flow over my soul day and night. He said finally, on a snowy Sunday morning, I was on my way to my regular place of worship, but I couldn't make it. The snows were too deep, and so I turned into one court. And there in a primitive Methodist church, I went in, and there were only 12 or 15 other people there. And the pastor wasn't there. I suppose he said he was snowed in. He couldn't make it that morning. So one of the laymen of the church got up, and uneducated in a broken English and grammar, opened his Bible over to the book of Isaiah, where it reads, "Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth." This young man said, "You know, that preacher, that layman got up and he just read that text over and over again and again. I suppose he was trying to think of something to say." And finally, after he had read it several times, he did come out with a few words. He said, "My text says, look." He says, "A fool can look. It doesn't take a rich man to look. It doesn't take a wise man to look. Anybody can look. Look unto me, all ye lands, all ye nations, all you people of the earth, and be saved." And he said, "I suppose that that man recognized me as a stranger, because I was sitting right on the back, and I knew that the countenance gave me away." And he said that that old gentleman, in only a way a primitive Methodist could scream, screamed out and said, "Young man, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." And that young man looked that day to Jesus. And when he died, over 50,000 people attended his funeral. Every week since he died, something like 60,000 messages of his have been in print. His name is Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Mister, that's all you got to do this morning. You don't have to join anything, do anything, sign anything, pledge anything. Look unto me. Jesus says, "Look at my hands. Look at my side. Look unto me. Look unto me and be saved." That's how simple it is for you to be saved this morning. Just look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just open the door of your heart and let him come in. Will you do that today as we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, how we do thank thee this morning for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. Though we have spoken brokenly, though we have spoken hesitatingly, though we have spoken in a fashion that perhaps some wouldn't understand, we pray that somehow the Holy Spirit right now would bring understanding even to the children, that little boy out there, that little girl who needs Jesus, that man or woman who needs the Savior this morning, those who need the church, those who need an altar of prayer, may they come today. Even now, may they open the door and let Jesus come in. May they see today that all they have to do is look. Look unto thee and be saved. Oh, dear God, we pray that this would be the case this morning. Take these feeble words from an unworthy and feeble servant, deserving of hell, deserving of everything but what we have today. Bundle us up together. And may the lost come out to know Jesus. And may people come out to join the church. And may people come out for an altar of prayer right now, as we pray in Jesus' name.